Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's build up on a very interesting dynamic that's unfolding in the mining industry. If there's one thing we know for sure, South Africa has a vibrant resource sector. And year after year, we have the mining indaba and, of course, various conversations around mining activity in South Africa. Speaking of the mining indaba, it's happening on the first week of Feb and we'll keep you abreast of the developments there. But next time you think of these resources that are dug up from underground, think of the various spaces where they end up. In our vehicles, in our machinery, and maybe even on our bodies in the form of jewelry. But here's an interesting take from the World Platinum Investment Council. They've raised alarm that the global decline in marriages is contributing to the decline in demand for platinum jewelry. So, what better way than to get some perspective on the future outlook for this metal? To tell us more, we're joined by a firm favorite guest of the show, Peter Major, Director for Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, joining us this evening. Peter, such a pleasure to have you with us, Mr. Major.
Wow, thank you very much.
This one really caught a few headlines across social media today, and people were joking around, you know, the theme and the concept of getting married. But maybe let's just take a look at platinum as a key metal and the various uses and demand that it has, specifically when it comes to the jewelry industry.
Platinum's got a lot of good uses, many more uses than gold, but the problem is it's difficult to work with. Gold is very easy to work with. One of the reasons it's turned out to be such a good money, and it's led to so much crime because it's easy to melt down, bend into shape, change its form a bit. Platinum's really hard to work with, but it's a lasting, tough metal. It's heavier than gold, and it's much more resistant than gold, but it's brittle. So gold makes good jewelry. You know, when the blacksmith is, not the blacksmith, that's the old days, the jeweler is making your ring. If he needs to expand your ring a little bit, he'll put it on this metal type finger and he'll tap it a little bit. That finger gets larger and he just expands a little bit. You do one tap with platinum, it goes ding, it just breaks in half. Ooh. So it is lovely jewelry, but say when you're bending the edges of it to set the diamond or the stone, whether it's an emerald ruby, again, it breaks rather than bends. So you've got to have a very experienced jeweler work with it, but that ring will take abuse. It won't scrape, it won't fade, it won't rub off like gold will.
But gotcha.
Is that enough to drive the demand to make our mines want to expand? Is that enough to drive the price up? No, it's not. And if every bride went for platinum, I think the price would double overnight and our production would have to go up accordingly. But it's stagnant demand at best for jewelry.
So in other words, does this mean that the concerns raised by the World Platinum Investment Council might be unwarranted?
They're warranted, but they've proven before with the right advertising that they can increase demand. But I think the big fall in platinum demand is coming from Europe, because Europe was really big on diesel engines in their consumer vehicles, whether it's an SUV, a small truck, or a car. Over half of the European vehicles for decades were diesel. But now with the various scams going on, they found out diesel isn't that much more economical than the petrol engines. The petrol engines have really increased. You know, the Japanese are great at improving them. And now people realize petrol is much better for around town driving than dirty diesel. And it's easier to clean up. So now they can use palladium to clean a petrol engine, whereas you needed platinum, much more platinum to clean a diesel engine. So I think it's with the decline in diesel engines, that's where the big fall off's coming in platinum.
Got you. Looking at the platinum price right now here, Peter, it's trading at $963. And it seems to be fairly stable over the last year, maybe even 2 years. Your outlook on this particular commodity and this metal, you know, given the shifts that you've identified, what does it mean for platinum going forward?
I'm a real disciple of the trend is your friend. And you're very correct in pointing out that platinum price has probably been less volatile than any commodity I've watched. It just doesn't move.
Right.
For years and years now, it's hovered around this 950 mark. Every now and then gets up to 1,000, maybe 1,050. Sometimes it falls down to 895, 870, but the volatility on platinum, I really believe, is less than any other metal. You've seen palladium go from 800 to 1500 to 2000, 3000, and now it's down to 950, 960. You've seen rhodium go up from 1000 to 5000 to 10, 20, 30. And even copper and gold are more volatile than platinum. It's just stuck around that mean, which tells you it's supply and demand are very balanced, mm-hmm. and neither are changing very much.
Doesn't sound like a bad investment then to make. I'm assuming platinum ETFs has also seen a similar performance here.
Yeah, I think platinum's been a very poor investment for metal traders. You know, if it's trading where it was for the last 5 years, and it's hardly traded 10% out of that range in 5 years, and people were paying this price for platinum 10, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's almost too inert. And it's funny, platinum is used as a catalyst. A catalyst makes chemical reactions happen, but there's no catalyst we know that can make something happen in the platinum price.
Mm-hmm. I like that one, Peter. Beautiful play on words there. But another interesting aspect that I thought we should throw in here, given that the hook for this conversation was really centered around the demand for platinum jewelry and that declining, another space that has been interesting to watch has certainly been the diamond space. Last year, we spoke about the shifts that are taking place regarding De Beers and its divestment from Botswana, and of course, change in ownership structure that's taking place there, the rise of lab diamonds. And just recently, we saw Richemont highlighting that they have seen a surge in the sales of luxury goods. So overall, I guess this speaks to the use of these metals within the jewelry space. We understand, as you said, platinum does play an influence, but it's been an ongoing trend. What about diamonds? Is this also a concern going forward?
Boy, it's a big concern, Hugo. Mm-hmm. Diamonds are even worse. Diamonds are trading much lower than they were 3 years ago, 5 years ago. They're even trading lower than they were 10 years ago. And you're right, they're getting hit from almost more angles than platinum, because these lab-grown diamonds are unbelievable. And they can now lab-grow pretty good-sized diamonds. For decades, they could only grow industrial diamonds. Then they got to where they could grow small jewelry-type diamonds. Now they're growing them up to 5 carats, like people raise carrots in a garden. Yeah, jeez. They just, it's, now, there's still a marketing aspect to this. And you'll see, De Beers did a campaign where they said, our clients want the real thing.
Yep.
Real means it was generated by tectonic forces deep in the Earth's crust. You know, it was thrust to the surface through a volcano. It was mine moving mountains to get that little diamond hiding. That works up to a point. I know most men, when they ask their wife, would you rather have a slightly smaller diamond that came from De Beers deep down in a diamond pipe, or can I get you a larger one?
Mm-hmm.
But it's even more perfect. It's lab grown. Most women don't want the lab grown. But the problem is, even without lab grown, there was almost too many diamonds out there.
Mm.
And it takes constant marketing, constant work. And then De Beers, fair enough, says, are these other diamond producers, are they paying their share to market? Because we no longer control 90% of diamond flow, or 95. We don't even control hardly 35%. And yet we're doing all the marketing.
Yeah.
We're doing all the promotion. These other guys are just slipstreaming us.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to need a concerted effort amongst all the big producers to say, how can we resurrect demand? Because it's all to our benefit.
100%.
And it's tough times out there. The diamond industry has it harder now than any other commodity or metal industry. And I wish government would realize that. Mm-hmm. Government always thinks, oh, diamond mines make the biggest margins. Wrong. Gravel pits make the biggest margins. It's almost the more precious you are, the smaller your margin.
Mm.
So platinum, diamonds, very, very tiny margins.
Got you. The mining in Dubbo is going to be an interesting one this year, Peter. Looking forward to seeing you there and picking your brain on some of the outcomes that certainly come out from there. Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Okay, you bet. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That's Peter Major, Director for Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, joining us this evening.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.